Welcome to Torah Simecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Racheli Lofglas, and today we will be studying Sefer Ezra, Perek He. Yesterday we learned how the Tzara Yehuda, the enemies of the Jews, who were the 2-century-year-old transplant from the Assyrian exile, tried to join the Jews in their temple-building project. And when they were rejected, they began to psychologically taunt the Jews, until the point where the Jews ceased construction for the bulk of the next 18 years. Perek He, which we're studying today, and tomorrow when we will learn Perek Vav, will pick up 18 years later when the Jews begin anew the construction project where they left off during the second year of Cyrus back in 538 BCE. And the Perek today proceeds to relate yet another back and forth in the political chess match between the Jews and the indigenous local population. The Jews kind of restart the construction, only to be met with opposition. Let's begin. One interesting thing to note is that Perek He and Perek Vav are written in Aramaic, as are some other parts of the Book of Ezra, which was the common language in the Middle East at the time. And Ezra and Daniel are the only books in Tanakh that even have parts of their books not written entirely in Hebrew. The reason Ezra has Aramaic text is that the original letters that are being documented here were written in Aramaic. And since the majority of the Jews at that time spoke Aramaic, it would have been somewhat superfluous to translate the Aramaic letters. Given that is the case, I'm going to spend most of the time really just speaking about the verses in English and not so much getting into the text of the Aramaic. But I do want to focus on the first two psukim in the Perek. The parak opens up by letting us know, with a late word, a milah mancha, a word that repeats often and often again. The root of the word is nun bet aleph, which means nevuah, is prophecy. And we're told that with the help of Haggai, the Navi, and Zechariah bar Ido, the son of Ido, the Navi, over the Jews in Jerusalem, with the help of Hashem, these two Nevi'im aided the Jews in allowing them to start their building process again, and they were able to complete the building process. So just a note on the side, the only difference we have here about Haggai and Zechariah is that we're told the name of Zechariah's father, which according to the Gemara and Megillah lets us know that his own father was also a Navi, whereas Haggai were not given the name of his father, which means his father was not a Navi. But that's all we're told, is that the help of these two Nevi'im allow us to build. And the two psukim here let us know that Haggai and Zechariah are emphasizing that they're passing on the word of God. Now, Nevuah, prophecy, supposedly had ceased after the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash. And now it seems that Nevuah has returned, and therefore they need to emphasize this, which really explains why these first two psukim have these words so consistently. Ezra mentions that these Nevi'im did something and that they gave their spiritual help, which was not really physical help. However, in order for us to find out exactly what Haggai and Zechariah gave over, we would have to look at their prophecies in the books themselves, because that's the only information we're given here in Ezra, and then the story picks up with what's going on with the opponents of the Jews. And one of the reasons why it seems to be like only giving us a piece of information is because in truth, there are different goals in Tanakh for the purpose of the books. In Tanakh, we have Torah, the five books of Chumash, Nevi'im, the books of prophecy, and Ketuvim, the written scriptures. And there's a difference between the goals of each of those books. Haggai, which is part of the Nevi'im, is about giving specific exhortations to follow the mitzvot. Sefer Ezra is about telling us how to live our lives. So if we want to figure out what the spiritual message is of the mitzvot that are not being followed properly, then we have to go into Haggai right now. But Ezra is only delineating for us that this is what kind of happened to get them back on track without the actual information inside. Okay, so now let's figure out what is going on. So starting from Pasuk Gimel until honestly the end of Perek Vav, we see that there's a new opposition, and it's being run supposedly by somebody named Tatnai, who is the local governor of this particular region that belongs to the Persian Empire. And together with Shetar Baznai, the two of them attempt to obstruct the returnees' progress in building. So if they're complaining about the building of the Jews, then clearly somehow it seems as if the construction has begun anew. But what we don't know is, you know, why did it begin anew? And again, that's why we have to go back into Haggai to look at that information. But we're told that Tatnai rules over this very, very large area, and it makes sense potentially that this is just a repeat of the Tzari Yehuda and Binyamin who tried to stop the building 18, 19 years earlier. And it is possible that they complained, and therefore the governor, meaning the surrounding people, the Tzari Yehuda, complained to Tatnai, the governor, and Tatnai, the governor of the region, is now coming to kind of check out the complaint and inspect what's in fact going on. And when Tatnai questions the Jews as to what they're doing, they go into an entire story about Jewish history and how they reached this point, and they let him know that many years ago, Cyrus the Great of Persia gave permission for the Jews to rebuild after they have been exiled and persecuted by the Babylonians for 70 years, and they began to build, and once they started building, they now they're just continuing. And they don't tell Tatnai that they stopped building because of the local population. They just explain that they're building because they were granted permission. But obviously the locals right now are kind of wondering, you know, do you actually have permission to build? And Tatnai is going to go about, which we'll see tomorrow, he's going to go about trying to investigate whether or not this story that the Jews are telling him has any truth to it. But there's a couple of verses that I want to pick out. Number one is in Pasuk Hey, in verse number 5. It says, Ve'en Elohaham habar al shavei Yehuda, that the eye of Hashem was on the Jews, on the elders of the Jews, ve'lo batel, and the Jews did not stop, the non-Jews and the governor did not stop the Jews from building until the matter came to Dariavesh. So Tatnai is going to verify with Darius, the king, the new king of Persia, whether or not this is a legitimate story. But in the interim, they don't make them cease construction. So that is actually a very, very big deal, that with the exchange of letters, nothing is seized. And that's a very big accomplishment. We have to focus on the word Ve'en Elokim. Ve'en Elokim means the eyes of God. It shows us the Hashkacha, the providence of Hashem, that he was with the Jews at this time. It's a big accomplishment because, you know, sometimes when you stop something, it's really difficult to restart again because a precedent was set. As we can see, this Ein Hashem, this eye of Hashem here, allows the people to continue building even during the intervening time between the sending of the question to the emperor and his response. And for us, it's a Musar lesson. It's a moral lesson for us for our lives. How do we express this dependence on God that we have? Do we express the dependence that we have? You know, many people say every single day, thank God, b'siyata d'shma, with the hope of God. So I guess we have to think about how much do we mean what we say and how much do we really actually just to say it by rote. After interrogating the Jews, like I said, it becomes clear from the letter's content that the Jewish community was responding to Tatnai by invoking the precedent of Cyrus's decree. And then in Pasuk 8, it lets us know that they had this permission from Cyrus and they wouldn't do it without it. It testifies to the quickness that the Jews are building right now and the successful words of the encouragement of both Haggai and Zechariah, who were mentioned earlier on in the Perek. We actually see political etiquette examples here in the diplomatic correspondence that Tatnai adds on the name of the great God, recognizing that he has to pay homage to that with from whom he gets his power, not only from Cyrus, but even the God of the land. Then we see in verse 12 that the Jews kind of admit their guilt. It's this concept of Mipnei chata'inu galinu me'artzenu. They let Tatnai know, and Tatnai repeats this in this letter to Dariavish that he's sending, that because their forefathers angered the gods of the heavens, they were delivered into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians. It really shows that it was in the minds of the Jews at the time why their first temple was destroyed, and they're not looking to repeat that process again. Another pasuk that I want to mention, really the last pasuk I want to discuss, is in verse number 16 in Pasuk Tetzayin. It tells us that Sheshbatzar came and he began building the walls of the house of Hashem that is in Yerushalayim, and it was built but was never completed. So basically the Jews tell Tatnai, who informs Dariavish through this letter, that they were building and they're just continuing to build. They never explain why they stopped And I think in truth, that is not to give anyone a reason to stop it again. They don't let them know that there was an indigenous population that was oppressing them. And people may examine on their own their reasons why it was stopped, and they'll think it was valid. But without that extra information, it might just kind of make it seem as if the construction we're doing now is just a continuation of what was started 18 years ago. And that's a really, really a big deal. Perek Hay ends with the end of the letter that he sends. And basically now Tatnai is waiting for Daryavesh to respond. And the response of Daryavesh will come, as we'll see that tomorrow, in Perek Vav. Thank you for studying together. Le'iloi Nishmas, Rose Foreman, Rezel Rachel Bat Aryeh Leib, and Rachel Zeitlin, Rachel Bat Shlomo.